Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning and we give you all the glory and all the praise. Amen. We thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. So let it be for us today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
Now put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Sing hallelujah a couple of times and let's get right into it. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you once again as we enter now into thy word. Anoint, O Lord, our eyes with eyes of that we may see wondrous things out of this thy word, and our ears especially. As the scripture has said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We give you, Lord, all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Today will be the conclusion of my wisdom series. And I am going to, in 1 hour, summarize everything that we've been doing for many months. I'm going to start here. So this is the seven pillars of wisdom, the conclusion message or teaching today. You can call it a summary. We started out with the seven attributes of wisdom, divine wisdom that is, James chapter 3 and verse 17. I'm going to need them to put those scriptures up quickly as I go through. So this was to introduce the wisdom that we will be talking about so that you would not think that it is fleshly wisdom and it is not the other kind of wisdom that is even devilish. But the scripture says that the other one is fleshly and devilish. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated and full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. So we went, after that, we went into the seven pillars. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 says, wisdom has builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. And so we began to talk about these pillars. We went to Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 to 14. We saw many of those pillars there. And I'm going to go through very quickly, but today I'm going to focus on some of the benefits. I'm going to try to pack everything. Now, we've already spent a long time teaching the series, so you have to go back, and I do encourage you. And this week, I went back, and I listened to every one of those series again, just so I can know where what I left off or what I didn't leave off, leave, and what I was going to summarize today. And it was a blessing to me, myself. So these seven pillars we talked about. You know, a pillar for a house is like a load-bearing column, you know, that holds up the house, you know. And, we talked about cracks. When you see cracks, when you begin to see cracks in the house, generally it's an indication that it's a problem with the pillars, you know. So the teachings on these seven pillars are to help us figure out how to fix the cracks that may be there or might have been there probably through the weakness or lack of these pillars in your life, you know, and oftentimes these cracks will lead to regrets, you know, delays, disappointments, failures, you know, even sickness, lack of advancement, even severe losses sometimes. You know, people lose jobs, they lose their wealth, broken marriages and things like that, you know, and so forth, because of lack of these pillars in our lives. You know, so these seven pillars, together, they give strength to the house. Now, strength is not one of them, but together, they give strength to the house. Now, we talked about, I gave an acronym that you can use to help you remember, K-U-P-D-C-S-F, K for, not, that's not the order in which I taught this series, but it was just something that sounded nice. I kind of put it together like that. I can put together, you know, the memory helper acronyms. You know, I like to use that from time to time. K is for knowledge, U for understanding, P for what? D for what? C for what? Counsel. You know, you guys got to be with me here. C for counsel, S for sound judgment, and F for the fear of the Lord. But it's not in that order. Actually, I started with the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So let me quickly go through some of the benefits of the fear of the Lord. Number one, Psalm 34 verse 7. It will bring you protection. Amen. Hello? Protection, because the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear the Lord. It also will bring you health, you know, health. You know, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2 says what? Unto you that fear my name, hallelujah, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Now, it talks about, you know, riches and wealth will be in your house. Psalm 112 verses 1 to 3. I'm going through this very quickly, you know. Those that fear the Lord will be rewarded. Proverbs 13 and 13. It brings understanding. Psalm 111 verse 10. It brings even knowledge. Proverbs 1, 7 and Proverbs 2 and 5. It brings riches, honor and life. This is all just from the fear of the Lord. You know, Proverbs 22 and verse 4. You can read it. You can listen to these messages again. I'm doing a quick summary here. It is a fountain of life. Proverbs 14 and verse 27. I want to stop and read that one. Put that one up for me. Proverbs 14 and 27. As a matter of fact, let me read 26 and 27. Start from 26 to 27. Proverbs 14, verses 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. So when you have the fear of the Lord, you don't need to be afraid of anything else. Amen. Now, strong confidence comes. And it, verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It will even cause you to depart from the snares of death. Isn't that beautiful? The fear of the Lord. Now, you know, we talked about many things. It brings us into holiness. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, and so on and so forth. You know, so now, we looked at two examples of a couple of people in the Bible. One that exhibited the fear of the Lord and the other one that did not. You know, Joseph was a man that exhibited the fear of the Lord when he was facing the seductress who was the wife of Potiphar that tried to seduce him. But he didn't. He said, I'm not going to do this thing because I fear the Lord and so on. So he didn't do it and he didn't fall for that. You know, David was a man that at one point in his life did not exhibit the fear of the Lord in the issue of Bathsheba and Uriah. You know, so when he went up on the mount, I mean, on the top of his house, and I was looking around, he should have been at the wall, but, you know, idle hands, a place for the devil, you know, idle minds also, you know, an idle mind. When times when kings went to war, he should have been at war. He was the commander of the armies, but he didn't go to war. But in any case, you know, once he found out that it was somebody else's wife, we talked about that, that was a no-go area, you know. And if he had exercised the fear of the Lord at that time, you know, he would have avoided that issue. All right. So next we moved to prudence. You can see I'm moving through this very quickly. I got to do this in less than an hour. You know, prudence. You know, I spent a lot of time on prudence. You know, and I talked about, you know, various quality, the quality of being cautious, exercising caution, showing shrewdness, you know, common sense and circumspection, even in the face of danger, you know, Proverbs 22 and verse 3, you know, he talks about, you know, when you, a prudent man and so forth, you know, foreseeing the evil and hides himself, you know, but the simple person and are punished. We talk about the, being the quality to use care and concern, thought for the future as it relates to time, health, work, career, education, family, marriage, etc. So prudence was just loaded with all kinds of things. You know, the ability to exercise good judgment in the use and management of talent, skills, resources, and so on. You know, and I spent quite some time there talking about how to grow your talent into something important. You know, remember the story of the one that didn't use his talent, who buried it, and the Lord took it from him. You know, so I gave 5 steps of how you can grow your talent until you become an authority. Anybody remember that? Your talent is already God-given. You may discover that you have a talent, you just find out that you are good with instruments of music, or you know how to draw, or you know how to do something. Whatever it is, it's a talent. It's already there. But you have to develop that talent into what is called a what? Skill. You must develop it into skill, into a skill. And then you, enough time passes, you practice. That skill, you become competent. You develop that skill into competence. You know, and if you spend enough time on it, you develop that competence to expertise. You become a subject matter expert, and you spend enough time on it, actually, they will recognize you as a different class of authority. You know, your expertise makes you an authority. Okay, so that's very important. The ability to conduct your business with diligence, and the ability to use tact in your various relationships. I talked about the types of people to surround yourself with and the types of people to avoid. So I'm going to go over that one quickly because that is important. You know, the people that you should surround yourselves with, you know, and the people that you should avoid. But I also talked, before I go to that, I talked about also setting boundaries in your relationship, whether relationship as friends, relationship as somebody you are thinking to get married to, relationship in the church, relationship in business, relationship in career, whatever. You have to set boundaries. And for relationship in, you know, when people are dating or courting or trying to get married, you young people, listen to me. You know, I said this before and I'm reminding you, the Bible says, the Lord is coming soon. Let your moderation be made known unto all men, because the Lord is at hand. Your moderation means put your values out there. Let everyone know your values. You know, communicate your values. Let your moderation be known. Communicate your values. And if somebody does not respect your values, get away from that relationship. Hallelujah. You know, that is probably one of the most serious advice I can give you. When you communicate your values and somebody doesn't respect those values, then get away. Don't think they're going to change. No. They don't respect your values, get away from that relationship. You must communicate your values and maintain your values. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, 4 groups of people to surround yourself with. 1, the people who know your weaknesses, right? They know your weakness, but they won't crucify you for those weaknesses. They will actually be an encourager to lift you up. They're not going to leave you wounded like that. Remember the story we told in Luke chapter 10 of what people call the Good Samaritan story. But the priest and the Levite, they saw him wounded and they left him like that. You don't want those kind of people in your life. You don't want religious leaders that leave you wounded like that. You don't want them in your life. But people who see your weaknesses but will not crucify you for it, that's 1. But people who know your strengths and will encourage you to go in those strengths. That's number two. Number three, those who are already where you want to be and they are willing to help you get there. Somebody is at the door. Now, so that's a three categories. A number four category is those who will help fight your battles, even in your absence. Those are the kinds of people you should surround yourself with. Now, here are the kinds of people you should disengage from. And this is all under prudence. Disengage from these categories of people that I'm calling out here. You know, stay away from people who do not respect your values. I already said that. That's why I went into the values thing. Stay away from negative critics who always focus only on your weaknesses and stomp you down. You know, they don't see anything ever good in you. I don't believe in you. Stay away from them. You know, they're not going to help you. And stay away from would-be destiny destroyers who are envious of your progress. Stay away from them. Now, stay away from users. There are some people, you know, who are with you only for your goodwill and your influence. They have no interest in your advancement, you know, just their own, you know. And once they get what they want from you, they're going to turn against you or that even become a rival or so forth like that. You know, they only call you when they need something from you. I talked about this even in business. Use shrewdness, use prudence in your business. You know, don't put out all your information out there, because once they get it, they're going to turn against you. They're going to become your competitor or your rival, and they're going to maybe even stab you in the back. You know, a lot of people don't have this kind of wisdom in their life. The capacity to manage your time is also prudence. The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The ability to manage your health. I think I spoke a lot about this one. You know, prudence. There are some people, they don't manage their health, and then we start to pray, you know. Manage your health. You need to manage your health. If you don't manage your health, then you're going to be spending a lot of time praying. You know, praying, going to the doctors and doing all of these things and so forth. And not only, look, when somebody gets sick, it doesn't only affect you. It affects your family and your loved ones. You know, so for those of you who don't want to manage your health, think about that. You know, don't be selfish. You know, think about others that care about you. You know, you don't want people running to the hospital and all of these things and so forth. There's a lot of things that can be avoided. Manage your health. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Manage your health. Hallelujah. I even quoted some things from National Institutes of Health, which I'm not going to go into today. If you eat too much, you may become overweight and obese, and you may be at risk for heart disease. That's one of them, you know, and so on and so forth. Now, remember that even surfeiting and drunkenness, Jesus warned against this thing. You eat too much. You just eat all the time. You have no self-control. You're just eating. Everything you see, you must eat. You know, why must you eat everything you see? You know, I don't understand it. You know, everything you see, you must eat it. You know, I mean, if you go to a party, you already know. Doctor already said that stuff's not good for you. But because it's there, you say it's only a party and you must eat it. You know. Drunkenness and surfeiting, Jesus warned against it in Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. He said, take heed lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Just begin to eat and so forth. And that day may come upon you unawares. You know, so we find that people who cannot even control themselves because of eat, they are maybe even in danger of missing that day. That's a serious thing if you are going to miss that day because of food. So don't do that. Praise the Lord. All right, so those are the things we talked about, and, you know. But if you have prudence, you know, and you are diligent, prudence will also lead you to diligence. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. You know, somebody who is prudent, it will lead them to diligence. And it will bring you promotion. Says, as thou a man that is diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings and not before mean men. So we talked about that. Then we went on to knowledge. I think I spent a great deal on knowledge. Knowledge, because we started out with, again, these are all the pillars of wisdom. You know, we started out with the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes that said, look, I gave myself, you know, to know all kinds of learning. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 13. If you can put that one up for me quickly. Ecclesiastes 1:13. He said, I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom. This is learning. This is understanding. You know, knowledge. You know, that things that are done under the heaven. You know, this sword travail has God given to sons of man to be exercised in. Well, it's only a sword travail if you think it is. But I tell you what, you know, when I was talking on the subject of knowledge, you know, I said, look, in the corridors of influence, knowledge is the king. Remember that. That was a cliche that I gave you. You know, in the corridors of influence, knowledge is the key. Now, if you don't have knowledge, you can't hold your own, you know, in the corridors of influence. But when you have knowledge, when you know, people say when you know your onions, whatever it is, when you know your stuff, you can hold your own, you know. And I said, look, take time to know a little about everything. You know, you don't need to be an expert in everything. You can be an expert in one thing, but know a little about everything. Take time to know what's going on. You know, listen to the news, watch, you know, read, you know what's going on. You know, learn something new all the time. Praise the Lord. And I said this. This was, I think, the most important piece I said about knowledge. What you know that others don't know is what gives you an advantage. That's right. You know, what gives you an advantage over others is what you know that they don't know. you know, and as a consultant, I found this out and I use it in all my business. You know, I know things that they don't know. I'm going to use it to my advantage, you know. And then something that will take them hours to solve, I'm going to solve it in just a few seconds because I know where to put the X. And when I put it, I'm still going to collect money for hours because I say, it only took you 1 minute. No, it didn't take me 1 minute. I'm charging you for the knowledge of knowing where to put the X. Hallelujah. Because that is the knowledge that I have that they don't have. That's why you brought me in. You know, so, you know, I mean, you don't know. You don't know where to put the X, you know. But I know where to put the X. It looks like 1 minute, but it's my knowledge that gives me an advantage. You know, so I learned that in the days of consulting, and it works, you know, all the time. The children of Israel, the Jews, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's what gave them an advantage. Because when Nebuchadnezzar was recruiting, he told his recruiters, you know, look for people, you know, children of the princes, but look for those that are skilled in knowledge, that are skilled in sciences, that can we can teach the language of the Chaldeans, the people that can learn these things and that hold their own with the magicians, that can hold their own with these people and so forth. But they already had an advantage. They knew science, they knew knowledge. So they had an advantage. Praise the Lord. You know, and they used that advantage, you know, and it blessed them. And they got promoted to all kinds of great positions and so forth. You know, so we talked about Paul giving advice to Timothy, you know, even in the ministry, you know, and even in anything. People think that this is only for the ministry. Well, it may be just because it's in scripture and just because it's Paul writing it to Timothy doesn't mean it's only in the ministry. You know, he said, look, this is how you grow your knowledge bank. You know, I want you to put up 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. Put that up for me. And I also am going to read, after this, I will jump to 2 Timothy. But ladies, he said, look, let no man despise thy youth. He already said that. Be an example of believers in conversation and charity in this and that and so forth. Now, read the next verse, verse 13. He said, till I come. This is the secret to not letting people, you know, despise your youth. Otherwise, they will despise your youth. You are a young man. You are trying to teach all these people and so forth. They will despise your youth. But if you give attendance to reading, hallelujah, you read, you know your stuff. You know. And I even said that, look, sometimes when people are asked to speak in a congregation or audience or seminar or anything, it doesn't have to be only religious, whatever it is, you know, sometimes they are shy. They talk of stage fright. Well, you can trace most of that stage fright sometimes to lack of knowledge. Because if you are knowledgeable and if you are an authority in your field, you know, you don't even have to worry about how you say it. You know, you'll be able to say it. Because you are confident, you know you can hold your own. If they ask you any question, you know you can answer it, and so on and so forth. So knowledge is what gives you advancement. And God gave us a warning. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, he said, look, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, then I talked about, you know, how even nations of the world are backwards. There are some nations in Africa, not to mention any names. They are backwards because of, you know, some things they don't have. You know, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 3. I want you to pull this up for me. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Sorry, not verse 3. Isaiah 5 and 13. You know, he said, my people go into captivity. You know, why? They're in bondage. They're backward because they have no knowledge. You know, they're backward. This is what is the problem with third world countries or underdeveloped nations and so forth. They don't have the right knowledge that they need in this age. And so they are backwards. They are in captivity and so on and so forth. They are famished. And the multitude are dried up with thirst. You know, wow. You know, if you are from such a nation like that, and I am from one nation like that, we need to pray that God will give us leaders that have knowledge. Hallelujah. That can change the situation. Praise God. You know, now, when you look at the qualifications that Nebuchadnezzar asked for when he was looking for these things, you will see that he talked about cunning in knowledge, understanding science, ability to stand in the king's presence, aptitude for learning. These were all the things that Nebuchadnezzar was looking for. And Daniel understood by the books, you know, by studying, you know, Jeremiah and all these other prophets, he understood the timing of the Lord. And Habakkuk, verse chapter 2, verse 14. I want to leave this there before I move on. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 14. Can you put that up for me? I likened knowledge to an ocean because of this scripture. It says, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. So I likened knowledge to an ocean. And whatever you have or think you have, just like 1 Corinthians chapter 8 says that, look, if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows not yet as he ought to know. Whatever you think you have is like taking a bucket to the ocean. Because the knowledge is like an ocean. Waters cover the sea. Today, you can go and take a bucket to the ocean. It will still not be depleted. It won't even make a dent. You can go and take a bucket to the ocean a million times. Still will not make a dent. That is how vast knowledge can be. You know, so, you know, read this scripture also that they put up. 1 Corinthians 8 and 2. If you think you know, you don't know yet as you ought to know. So, you know, improve yourself with learning. Here are four things that you must remember, you know, about knowledge. You know, the reason why we go to school. What is the reason why we go to school? We're trying to gain a competitive advantage. That's all it is. You know, some people go to school for many, many years, you know, and then they become an authority in their field. They're trying to gain a competitive advantage. That's what it is, you know. And in this place where we are, in the marketplace, those of you who are entrepreneurs, and market in the marketplace and so forth, you need knowledge. I talked about somebody who wants to go into business and just say, the Lord is moving on me to go into business. And they have no knowledge. What does that mean? What does it mean? You know, if the Lord is truly moving on you, listen to this thing that I'm telling you today. Go and do some training and some learning to understand the mechanics and the logistics of that business before you jump into it. Hallelujah. Wisdom is speaking today. You know, so spend more time to figure out what it is that you're trying to do. That's why we go to school, you know. And then you should also go to school concerning whatever thing you're trying to do in the marketplace. Don't just jump into it. Otherwise, you might make shipwreck. We don't want to do that. Now, you know, we talked about knowledge, you know, that will fill your house with precious things. Precious things. Listen to Proverbs 24, verses 2 and 3. Proverbs 24, verses 2 and 3. You know. Go to verse 3. Okay. Through wisdom is an house builded. Understanding is established. Go to verse 4. Verses 3 and 4 is what I meant. You know. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled. The house is built by wisdom. It's established by understanding. But what brings riches into it? The life is like your, you know, a house is like your life. You know, what brings riches into it is knowledge. Knowledge is what's going to bring you chambers, make your chambers filled with precious things and pleasant riches. Amen. No matter what you want to do, you need knowledge. Even if you want to go into stock market and so forth, like, if you don't need knowledge, you are going to crash and burn. You know, so you need knowledge. You know, knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Okay. Now, even God said that, look, the people that do know their God shall do what? Daniel 11:32. The people that do know their God. So even in spiritual things, you must know him. And this is the capstone of everything. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that all these gifts are given to us till we come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Hallelujah. And come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We must come into that. You can read Ephesians chapter 4 verses 13 and so on. You know, so knowledge is important. And Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You got to know him, look. You got to know the Lord. To know him, you know, oh, to love him, to worship him, to adore him, to serve him, and then eventually to reign with him. Hallelujah. So we must know the Lord, you know. We must know the Lord, and we must use knowledge in all of our things and so forth. Now, the Lord also even talked about, look, you know, if you want to brag about anything, let's read this one quickly. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 to 24. Put that over for me, please. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Chapter 9, not 29. Okay. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Next verse. But let him that glorieth, see, so we're trying to put a balance here. Let him that glorieth in glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth, and in these things do I delight, saith the Lord. Now, then we went on to counsel. My. You know, I mean, counsel, you know, and I talked about counsel in different ways, you know. Most people, when they think of counsel, they are thinking of giving advice to somebody else. So we covered that. But I talked about something that was even more important. Not the counsel you give to somebody else, but the counsel that is in your life to order your own life. You know, and I said, you know, and I gave us scriptures that say, look, where is the place of counsel? Where can it be found? It comes from the Lord. And counsel is hidden in the heart. You know, it's like deep waters. But a man, you know, of understanding will draw it out, you know. So counsel is at the core of all of these seven pillars of wisdom. A person who has the spirit of counsel, I said, you know, will exhibit all these other pillars as well. You know, you remember wisdom when he was speaking, you know, in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14, he said, counsel is mine, you know, and so forth, and I have understanding. Where does it come from? Let's read this quickly. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. Where does counsel come from? Let's read it. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And where does, you know, it's deep in there, but most people don't, they can't draw it, they can't get to it, you know, because they don't know how to use it, you know, but I also talked about how do you get this understanding that can draw out this counsel? Well, Job 32 and verse 8. There is a spirit in man. It's like this thing, you know, counsel in the heart of a man. There's a spirit in man, you know, and the inspiration of the Almighty that connects with that your spirit is what gives you understanding. And then when you have that understanding, you can draw counsel out. You know, and then you can be above everybody else pretty much, because when you have real counsel, I said this, look, today we call them, you know, consultants. Sometimes in the Bible they call them counselors or whatever. You know, if you have real counsel, they may be laying everybody. I didn't have time to give testimonies, but you know, they may be laying everybody off on your job. They would never lay you off. You know, I talk about the story of Joseph, which you all know the story. You know, the talents that Joseph had of dreams and interpretation of dreams and so forth. That was really not what brought him to greatness. I corrected that because people had this myth that, oh, it was his dream. I mean, the ability to interpret dreams that brought him to greatness. Well, that was a contributing factor. But what really brought him to his greatness was his ability to give sound counsel. After interpreting, look, if he had just interpreted the dream and said, well, the 7 ears of corn, whether fat or lean, this is what it means. The 7 fat cattle and the 7 lean cattle, this is what it means. And if he had left it like that, there would not have been any greatness. But his ability to bring counsel, to say, this is what you need to do. Find a man of discretion. Hallelujah. And in the years of plenty, save 20%. And when I was telling you that story, I said, some of you don't know how to save. The scripture is teaching you, save 20%. Save 20%. Save 20%. Save 20%. And then in the day, what we call the rainy day, you will have something to fall back on. Praise the Lord. But when he gave the counsel, which is also mixed, some of these pillars overlap. It also mixed with discretion. You know, Pharaoh, you know, Joseph said, look, find a man that is discreet. And Pharaoh said, where can we find a man that is so wise and so discreet, such as you? You know, so, you know, promotion came to, they came, you know, at that time, you know, everybody else relatively were demoted. They were not really laid off, but they were demoted because they were already next to the king. When you're already next to the king, listen to this. It happens on my job all the time. You know, I look at it, I see all these higher ups, you know, vice president and this, and then they bring, you know, the company has an acquisition, and then they'll bring somebody else in and stick him. I mean, this person was right next to the CEO before, right? He was a regional vice president or something. And then my outside, and they stick him right above that person. That means he has down. Hello? That's exactly what it means. Because you are one step up before, they brought somebody ahead of you, you have now dropped down. So when Pharaoh put Joseph above all the magicians, all the soothsayers, all of the knowledgeable people and the science, you know, everybody that was there, they dropped down. You know, because now Pharaoh put Joseph above them. Wow. You know, so you can see that it's kind of like, look, they lost their rank and file, and Joseph got it. You know, so, you know, when others are being demoted, counsel will promote you. Hallelujah. If you have that counsel, it will promote you. Now, counsel is not just what you give to others. Yes. But when I was talking about giving counsel to others, I also talked about, you know, developing your communication skills. Because even when you have good counsel and you don't know how to communicate it, it's not going to, you know, help you too much, you know. I talked about the story of Nathan when he had to communicate with David in the case of this Uriah and Bathsheba. He went into storytelling. You know, it was an act of communication, you know, storytelling. And he told a story and so forth like that until, you know, I mean, you know, David was really rough. Who did this kind of thing? You know, finally said, well, I've got news for you. It was you. Wow. See, he already got him, you know, because he had the act of communication. He could communicate what he was going to say, you know. So I talked about developing your communication skills, you know. All the world sought out of, they sought out Solomon. It wasn't just because of his riches, but it was because of his sound counsel that he could give. You can read 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 to 34, and also 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 23 to 25, you know, so, you know, they sought him out. And even Jesus testified to it. He said, look, the Queen of Sheba came from all halfway across the world to seek out the counsel of Solomon. But behold, a greater than Solomon is here. You know, so talk about it. Now, I said, here are 4 things you need to do. Develop your advisory and problem-solving skills through knowledge. I already spoke about that. Communication, effective communication. Learn the skill of effective communication. Surround yourself with people that can give good counsel. This is the secret to success in all areas of your life. We counselors around you, you know. At one time, David had Ahithophel. You know, although, you know, that relationship turned sour later on. But when he had good counsel, you know, he was excelling, you know. We have, you know, Proverbs 15:22 says, you know, and can you put this one up? I want to read it. Proverbs 15:22 says, your plans, you know, 15:22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. This is very important. People at the end, at the beginning of the year, they make all these great plans. I got this New Year resolution. I don't even know what that is, but you know, I have this and this and that, and they make all these plans and so. But look, if you don't have counsel, those purposes will be disappointed. You know. So you make these plans, but they won't come to pass if you don't know, you don't have counsel to guide your plans. So anyway, you know, we talked about that. Every purpose shall be established by counsel. Proverbs 20 and verse 18. You know, and so on and so forth. So now, you know, that was a really great one. You know, counsel can take you to greater heights. We've already given you an example there. Then we went on to understanding. Understanding. Wow. I've already given you the scriptures, my favorite scripture in Job 32, verse 8. You know, and understanding, you know, it is the superior power of discernment. It is enlightened intelligence. You know, it is the ability of deep comprehension. You know, and I remember when I was teaching this series, I said, look, some of the definitions that I will give, I got some of them out of the dictionary. I looked at them. Some I didn't like. Changed it a little bit. Holy Ghost gave me some. I mixed it all up and came out with my own definition. And they were very rich. You listen to them again. You know, so, you know, the, you know, understanding to depart from evil is understanding. Job 28 and 28. And I spoke about so many things about understanding. Then I also called insight a synonym for understanding, you know, also called, you know, AKA insight. So when I was talking about insight, I gave three dimensions of insight. There is hindsight, there is insight, and then there is foresight. Well, apparently hindsight is the ability, you know, to look to the past, have understanding and enlightenment, and how to learn from past mistakes or build upon past successes to prepare for a better tomorrow. That's hindsight. And I gave you some laws, and I'm going to repeat those laws. They are very, very important. Now, here is a law. Insight. The law of insight, or yesterday. You know, I said, look, you will never be better than you were yesterday if you fail to move beyond your past. I want you to quote me on that one. If you fail to move beyond your past, you will never be better than you were yesterday, whether that past was disappointment or success. Either way, you know, if it was disappointment or so-called failures, and I also talked about don't be using the word failure, right? It's not really a failure. It's just that now you've learned how the thing doesn't work. So it's not a failure. Don't see it as a failure. If you try to do something and it didn't work, well, you figured out, you've gained knowledge that it doesn't work by doing it that way. So it's not a failure. You've learned something, you know. But if you don't move past, if you do not move past quote-unquote failures, right, then you will always be trying to redefine yourself in your past. And this is the problem with a lot of people today. So you've done something wrong in your life. You made a wrong, you know. And religious folks will never let you get out of it. They will beat you down on it for the rest of your life. But Jesus never did that. Praise the Lord. Jesus will say, go and sin no more. That's all he said. John, you can read the story in John chapter 8 of the woman they brought in the midst of adultery. You know. So I talk about insight. Insight is for the moment, you know. Insight is for the moment. So now, even if you had successes in the past, if you are always, they call it resting on your oars,
You will never advance because you're thinking, oh, you already arrived. You know, great people are always trying to do better. You know, I remember even, you know, when I was an athlete and so forth like that, you know, you always strive to improve. You know, always trying to improve. The Bible even says they that strive for masteries, they are temperate in all things. They put their body through rigor, through pain. No pain, no gain. It's what we used to say. You know, so always trying to improve. You know, if you have a personal best, you're trying to improve upon it. Don't just stay on that personal best. You're always trying to improve on it. Everything you do, always trying to improve.
Praise the Lord. Now, you know, don't stay put, but keep pressing forward. In fact, God told them in Exodus 14 and 15, move forward. Go forward. We talked about that at the beginning of this year, if you will remember. Go forward. You got to go forward. You know, don't be rewinding and looking at the failures of the past and all of that. And don't let anybody bring your past that was not so good up in front of you, especially the devil. Amen. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. You know, so, you know, and I gave you an example of Moses who looked around and all he saw was bush and dirt, you know. But God said it is holy ground. Hallelujah. Holy ground, because once God comes into it, it becomes holy. Now, God cannot live in bush, in the dirt and rubbish and all this nonsense. No, God doesn't live in nonsense. God lives in holy ground. So if God is in your life, it is holy ground. Hallelujah. You cannot be defined by the errors or mistakes of the past. That was then, but this is now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So don't, you know, don't wallow in the past, but you must make a turnabout. You know, you cannot continue in sin so that grace may abound. No, I don't preach that. But you must make a turnabout, you know, but leave the past in the past and move on with Jesus. Amen. Now, foresight, very, very important. So I've covered hindsight, insight, and foresight. You know, foresight, very, very important. And I gave Genesis 13, verses 14 and 15 to illustrate foresight. You know, and I said, this is another law. The future you see about tomorrow, the future you see today is where you will be tomorrow. If you don't see it, you can't get there. Hello? And I gave you that scripture in Genesis 13, verses 14 to 15, where God said to Abraham, after Lot had departed, he said, look, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where you are. From where you are. Look forward, look around, look this, but from the place where you are, you know, he said, as far, the next verse says, put on to the next verse. He said, for as far, you know, for the land which thou seest, as far as your eye can see, you know, and I talked about faith horizons, you know, as far as your eye can see, that is what I will give you. Now, if Abraham could have seen farther out, the Lord would have given it to him. But whatever he saw is what the Lord said. So this is a very important principle and a law. The future you see today is where you can arrive tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Some people call it dream, some people call it vision, some people call it aspiration. Call it whatever you want. But you've got to see the future today. You know, Jesus, he saw the future. You know, he said for the hope that was laid before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. He saw the future. Hallelujah. The future was a pearl of gold of a great price. And he was going to get that pearl. He would give up everything. And he will get the pearl. Hallelujah. That's why you are seated here today, because Jesus saw you sitting in these seats. He saw the future and he would not be denied. And he began to pray until blood was coming out of his forehead like sweat, because he saw the future and he's going to get it. Praise the Lord. So, folks, don't give up on your dreams. Remember, the devil, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy not only your life, but your dreams. You got to have big dreams. Praise God. What you can see is where you can get to. So I left that there. Now, the choices you make today will help shape your future tomorrow. I also talked about choices you have made in the past might be, you know, what culminated in where you are today. You know, just look at your life. You find out if you make good choices, you are reaping it. If you make bad choices, well, you know, but you can learn from them. So I also said that, look, don't wallow in the bad choices. Learn from it, because you have, as long as you are alive, you have opportunity to make better choices. And even though you've made some not so good choices before, today, start making better choices. Praise the Lord. Make better choices for yourself. So we talked about discretion. My goodness. Discretion, some of these things overlapped, and I've already talked about discretion. You know, they overlap with counsel, overlap with anything, but you know, a man of no discretion is the one that goes into his neighbor's wife. Has no discretion. You know, he's going to get burnt. You know, he has no discretion. You know, and I talked about discretion. I gave some definitions. People, popular definition is, you know, the ability to choose what to do. You have your use your discretion. Use your discretion, the ability to do it. But more importantly, I talked about the law of what? You know, the law of what? Sharing information on a need to do what? Need to know basis. That is the most important part of discretion. When somebody tells you something, another person doesn't need to know. You need to have discretion. But somebody of no discretion will just blah, 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 you know, put the business all out over the place. They have no discretion. You know, and I also made a joke. I said, look, find a person of no discretion. Tell them not to tell anybody. They will help you publicize the thing. Hallelujah. If you want to publicize something, just find somebody that has no discretion. And tell them, don't tell anybody. Praise God. And they will put it out in the marketplace. They put it, so you already achieve your goal. Praise the Lord. But listen, when people talk to you, and I tell you, I'm already hearing testimonies of this. People are telling me that they are using discretion. You know, somebody come to somebody and say, no, no, no. And they check themselves that, look, I don't have to tell you that. You know, it doesn't belong to you. Amen. Use your discretion. Not everything you hear must be told to another, you know. And God forbid that we have a church leader, you know, a spiritual leader that people are confiding in that have no discretion. That is the worst kind of person that you can have. Praise the Lord. You know, you need discretion. So next time, check it. I also told you that those of us who work in information technology, the greatest part of information security is need to know basis. You only be given enough information that you need to do your job and no more. you need to know. Even people in the military, they'll tell you it's, or even in national security, they tell you it's classified. It's classified means you don't need to know. Praise the Lord. So begin to use that knowledge. Certain things are classified. Not everybody needs to know everything. That is discretion. It's a companion also to knowledge. And Proverbs 11:22 is a very serious. Proverbs 11:22 is a very serious thing. It compares a woman that has beauty. You know, it says even a woman that is beautiful and so forth, if she has no discretion. Wow. And this is not just for a man, a woman. Even a man, no matter how handsome, no matter how good looking and everything you are, if you have no discretion, look at what it says. And I don't even want to say it. You know, so you go read it for yourself. You know, that is how important discretion is. Look, if you don't have discretion, it's comparing and you're just putting a jewel in a pig's snout. And that is really severe. When I talked about this that day, I said it is way out in left field. So I just left that one alone. You know, but discretion will preserve you from evil and all these things. Then finally, I talked about sound judgment. Sound judgment encompasses all of these things that we have talked about. And here are some of the definitions I gave. I coined this out myself, actually. You know, here are some of the definitions I gave for sound judgment. And you will see how deep it is. I said, you know, it is the quality of having experience, understanding, knowledge, discernment, and exercising discretion, counsel, and the ability of making good decisions. So you see, it actually covers everything. You know, I said, look, it is also the quality of having understanding of a matter or a situation and the quality of being able to use hindsight, as well as showing insight into the present and having the demonstration of foresight for the future. So you see, it covers all everything that we've talked about. Now, I said it is the ability to objectively assess, you know, this one I think I got from the dictionary, but I put something else in there. The ability to objectively assess situations or circumstances using all the relevant information, then I put in parentheses, this was mine, put in parentheses, grounded in facts. That one I added to the one, the dictionary definition. Grounded in facts and applying past experience in order to come to a conclusion or make a decision, you know. And so the story we use for that, and in each one of these cases, I told stories in the Bible. The story we use for this one, two stories. We use the story of the King Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 to about 28. You know, the two women, you know, they were both harlots actually, but they both had a child. And, you know, they slept in the night. One overlaid their child, died. You know, and so she swapped the children, you know, swapped the babies. And then in the end, in the morning, the other one woke up and said, "This is not my baby. That's not your baby." They started fighting. They went to the king. So the king listened, first of all, to their stories. You know, so sound judgment requires you, don't be rash. You know, the scripture says, Proverbs, I don't have it here in front of me, but somebody that answers a matter before he hears, he's a fool. You know, just don't listen to it first. Grounded in facts. He gathered all the facts. He analyzed the situation. He used discernment, you know, and he had understanding. And he said, well, okay, here's what I'm going to do. You know, bring me a sword and let me divide the child. And you know the rest of the story. The one whose child it was not said, yep, let's divide it. You know, just divide the child into two. It will not be mine. It will not be hers. Give me half. Give her half. And the other one said, oh, king, live forever. Just give the child to the woman. Don't even let any harm come to the child. So King Solomon said, now that art is the mother of the child. Hallelujah. Sound judgment. And then I told you this story, which I told multiple times throughout this series. And this is the last one that I'm going to use to end it. And we're going to do some prayer after this. I told you the story of the 10 virgins. The story which Jesus himself told. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. And the ones that were foolish, they took their kerosene lamp, which you normally has a reservoir. It can only take this much, you know, oil or kerosene or whatever in it, you know. But they did not take extra oil or extra, you know, fuel. You know, so, but the ones that were wise, they not only took the lamp with the oil that was inside, you know, in the reservoir, they took extra oil because they, you know, were able to plan ahead, foresight. So, when everybody's lamps ran out, they woke up, behold, the bridegroom cometh. They started trimming their lamps and so forth. The foolish found out that lamps are gone out and there is no more oil. They went to the wise, give us some of your oil because our lamps had gone out. And the wise used sound judgment. They analyzed the situation. They said, look, we don't know how much longer the bridegroom is still going to be. And even if he comes, we're still going to need the lamp when we go into the party. And then we're still going to go back home afterwards. You know, this oil we have, it's not going to be good enough for us and you. You go buy for yourself. Hallelujah. They said no. And I told you that, look, in today's world, religious world, church folks will say that the wise people do not have love. They don't have love, oh, because they said no. But Jesus is the one that told their story. There are times you have to say no. Amen. And you have to use sound judgment to say no. There are times. Don't let somebody's lack of planning become your own emergency. That's what they say. You know, so, and I corrected the age-old notion of why we call these people foolish and these people wise, the virgins. We have been told or learned over the years
you know, that these people were foolish because they did not take oil. And that these people were wise because they took oil. And I said, no. No. They did not take oil because they were foolish. It's not the other way around. It's not the singular act of not taking oil that made them foolish. They were already foolish. That's why they could not see ahead. That's right. And these people, it wasn't the one act of taking extra oil that made them wise. They were already wise. You read the story yourself. He says some of them were wise, and they took oil. They were already wise. So they knew to think ahead. Praise the Lord. And I challenge the young people. I say, learn to say no. Say no to drugs. Say no to sex. If you are not married. The young people or married people is the same. Amen. Say no to foolishness. Say no to any of these things. But say yes to Jesus. Hallelujah. You must know how to say no. And I told you, I didn't like this commercial that Nike did many years ago that said, just do it. Just do it. I hated that commercial. Just do what? Why not? What about just say no? Hallelujah. Just say no. And remember, I think it's Jeremiah 17 verse 9. Put that up for me and see if I got it right. I'm not sure. But it says, look, Jeremiah 17, 9. Can you put that up for me? Anybody there? Jeremiah 17 verse 9. That's it. I got it right. The heart is deceitful above all things. So people say, just follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Because the heart is deceitful. Is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Follow the word of God. Amen. And some people say, just follow your heart. What? The heart will deceive you. It will just deceive you. You follow your heart, you will see this handsome man. That know his word is like butter. He knows how to sweet talk you. It's like Prince Charming for you young ladies. You know, some of them have gone back to college, but you know, they will talk, you know, smooth talk you and so forth. No, say no. Don't let them smooth talk you. Praise the Lord. Have discernment. Use sound judgment and know how to say no. Even I talked about finances. You know, finances. You know, sometimes your long-lost family. In fact, if you ever come into any kind of wealth, all of a sudden you have many cousins. Praise the Lord. When you are doing well in life, you will have a lot of cousins. My brother's sister's mother's uncle. They will come from somewhere. They will know you immediately. Praise God. In fact, the Bible says the same thing. It says a rich man has many friends. You will have many friends when you come to anywhere. They will siphon you dry. What? It's like a bottomless pit. When they call you, say, send us money. After you finish that one, send us more money. After you finish that, send us more money. Sometimes you have to say, what? No. If you don't learn how to say no, people say, that's not love. No, Jesus said there are times when you have to say no. You know? Most of the times, you say yes, and you help them. And it's good to lend a helping hand. You know, I'm not bashing that. You know, it's good to do that. But, you know, and I told you the story of a young lady that I met on Clubhouse, not directly, but I was in a room, and she told her story. She came into the room and told her story. She didn't know how to use sound judgment. She went into one of these prophetic rooms where they were prophesying. You know, they're actually selling the prophecy, right? If you want this kind of miracle, it's $500. If you want this other kind of miracle, it's $1. Yeah, you know, she fell for it. She gave all her money, you know, because somebody told her that she's going, oh, the Lord is going to bless you. So she just gave all her money. And then after she gave all her money, she began to be in want. She couldn't pay her rent. And she didn't get that money she thought she was going to get because she was foolish. And then she came into this other room and was crazy prayer request. And everybody was praying. And everybody was trying to raise money for her to help her. And I'm like, what kind of prayer is this? Use wisdom in the first place. If somebody tells you, and I'm telling you right now, You know, and one time I, anytime you say, look, you have $1,000, do this, and you make more. Keep your $1,000. If you keep your $1,000, you will already have $1,000. If you take a gamble and say, put $1,000, God will bless you. You will put that $1,000 and you will be sorry. And this lady was sorry. She was sorrowful and miserable. But God loves a cheerful giver. But when you are cheerfully giving, use wisdom. Hallelujah. Use wisdom. And one day, I'm going to bring the true teaching on how you give. We don't talk about it too much in this church, but one day I will tell you, But it's not like that, The way you give is first, God has blessed you. Hallelujah. You can't buy anything from God. God has blessed you. Then out of the abundance of what God has blessed you, you come and give him some. That's how you give. It's not the other way around. This business of you give this so that God can bless you, that's nonsense. They're just making merchandise of you. And it doesn't work. The law of first mention in the Bible, where tithe was first mentioned, Genesis 14. Go and read the story. I don't have time today. Read the story of Abraham and Melchizedek. First of all, Melchizedek blessed him. Then Abraham gave him tithe. Paul. Hallelujah. That's the law of first mention. One day I will go into that. I'm not going to go into it today. So when I'm telling you not to give, give. That's good. I give too. But use wisdom and use discretion. Praise the Lord. And the summary of this message is this. Or teaching, or series of teachings. It's not a message now. We've taught it for weeks. So the summary is this. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. That's number one. Fear God and keep his commandments. Well, I'm going to give you the conclusion of the whole matter today. Follow these precepts that we have set up for you and those cracks that are in the house where the house is trying to fall, those cracks will be mended. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus if you enjoy that. Amen. Now let's stand up to our feet and we're going to pray. This is the last of the series. So I think we did justice to that. We have I've spent a lot of time. It was a lot of work also, to put it all together. And I hope and pray that you go back and listen to it. There's a lot of gems inside those things that will help you. Today I rushed through it to just put everything together, but we've already went through many, many weeks of this thing. So now you know. Here's the prayer that we're going to pray today. Take your pick. Which one do you want? Which one do you want? Anybody? Take your pick. Knowledge. Understanding, prudence, discretion, counsel, sound judgment, fear of the Lord. Which do you want? Take your pick, a la carte, that's right. The Lord said, look, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And all these things are wisdom together. They're the pillars of wisdom. And when you ask of God, ask in faith, nothing doubting. And know that with God, there is no variableness and there is no shadow of turning. And I explain that by saying variableness and shadow of turning means what? It means God does not have mood swings. Hello? God doesn't have mood swings. It's not one day he feels good, so he's going to bless you. Some other day he feels not so good, then he's not going to bless you. No. His promises are yea, and in Christ, amen. So he is steady, but we need wisdom. So I want you to lift your hands and pray for yourself. You've heard the teaching. I am done now. Paul said, my hands are clean of the blood of all men. Well, I am done now. We have laid this wisdom thing out now in front of you. You have more than enough sources. You can go back and listen to it on the website. I mean, we have come at it from every different angle, you know. So, it's up to you now. God told Habakkuk, he said, look, make it plain. Write it upon the tablets, that he may run that readeth it. Well, we've made it plain. I have used great plainness of speech during this series. I have not used great swelling words to make it plain so that you may run with it. Hallelujah. So I want you to pray and say, Lord, you know, from this day on, let my heart be one that is full of counsel, and teach me understanding by the inspiration of the Lord that I may draw it out. That's a good prayer. I didn't write that down. I just prayed it. No, pray about all these things that we have learned. Give me the capacity to manage my health. Manage my health, not be surfeiting and drinking. You know, give me the capacity to manage my talents and my resources. And talking about resources, remember the story of the prodigal son who wasted his resources. The issue was not that he asked for the blessing and his inheritance. We have been told that that was his issue. No, that was not the issue. There's nothing wrong with asking. Ask and you shall receive. So he asked and he received. His issue was he wasted it. And I talked about don't waste your resources. So I want you to take a minute and pray about this. Pray. Many of us are struggling in this area. Pray about this. When you have a bonus, you receive a bonus or you get a raise, what do? You go on a shopping spree, you do all of these things. Have you learned from the story of Joseph and the interpretation of the dreams and the counsel he gave, how that you must, in the days of plenty, when God is giving you more than you need, that you must put away some, because there's going to be some days that you will have less than you need, and then the sum that you put away in the time that you had more than you needed will be able to fill in the gap. So let's pray about that. Now, if you are the kind of person that just like to spend, buy up all the shopping malls just because you got a raise, think again. Because, you know, don't be like the one that wasted their resources and afterwards began to be in want. Pray. I hope you are praying. Are you praying? If you are praying, say amen. Amen. Now, I want you to also pray for this. Give me, Lord, the fear of the Lord. Teach me the fear of the Lord in my heart. That's what you need to pray. We should never pray that God should be with us. You know, all these things, Lord, be with me. That's not a prayer we need to pray. The prayer we need to pray is, Lord, teach me the fear of the Lord. God is the angel of the Lord encamps, Psalm 34 and verse 7, around those that fear the Lord. So if you fear the Lord, it is automatic that the angel of the Lord will be around you. Don't need to pray for that. He's with you, but you fear the Lord. So pray for the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, give me the fear of the Lord. Teach me the fear of the Lord. Teach me to observe all of thy commandments, thy statutes, the word of the Lord. The Bible says this is the whole commandment. This is the whole duty of man. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. To fear God and to keep his commandments. Again, unto you that fear my name. If there's anybody that needs healing here today, let me just tell you this. You can lay claim to your healing just because you fear the Lord. And you can take God to court, the court of his own word, and say, Lord, you said in your word that unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. That's Malachi chapter 4 verse 2. So if you have the fear of the Lord in your heart and healing here this morning, let me do a quick prayer for you. In fact, step forward for just a minute. I'll make it quick. If you have the fear of the Lord, but yet you need healing over one thing or the other and so forth, let's do this.
Let's prove to you today that it actually works. Now, remember, God can see your heart. Don't say you have the hair of the Lord if you don't have it. You know, if you don't have it, pray that you may have it. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to pray. You need healing, but you have the fear of the Lord. I invoke the promise of God upon you. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. So if you fear his name, the healing is yours in Jesus' name. And the kind of healing that comes from the Son of Righteousness, it actually changes to divine health. Hallelujah. It's not the kind of healing he will heal you today and then you will come back tomorrow. No. He says, you know, he made them every whit whole. He said, go, thy faith had made thee whole. And once they are made whole, they cannot come back with the same thing again. So, Lord Jesus, look upon your people that are here standing in front of you, asking for a touch because they fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not as complicated as we think. Just fear the Lord in your heart. Just obey his word. When the Lord said, don't do it, don't do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Now, some of us need prudence and counsel in our lives. Our life is just chaotic. Because we have no prudence. We have no counsel. We don't know how to manage our time. You know, you need this grace. And if that's you, I want you to step forward quickly. I'm going to pray for you. You know, things are upside down because you don't know how to manage. You don't know how to manage your finances. You don't know how to manage your health. You don't know how to manage your business. You don't know how to manage your relationships. If that's you, I pray for you today that the Lord will help you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, for every one of us that's here today, help us, every one of us, in Jesus' name. So I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Hallelujah. This day, remember the word of the Lord and always go back to him when you need help. Some of you need discretion. You know, you need to know how to divulge information only on a need-to-know basis. May the Lord grant you that discretion in Jesus' name. And knowledge. Oh, my goodness. We need knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Sometimes you need knowledge in everything you are doing. You know, knowledge of the times. Remember, the children of Issachar, they had knowledge of the times and they became rulers over their people. They have knowledge of the times and the seasons and different things. Became rulers over their people. May the Lord grant us knowledge in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may go back to your seats. And I'm going to pray one final prayer, generic for every to close out this series. Hallelujah. The last thing I'm going to say is remember, when a person hears the word of the kingdom and they do not have understanding, then the enemy comes and plucks it out of their heart. So I'm going to pray that because understanding of all these things that we have talked about throughout this long series and for you to know how to apply these things, that's the prayer now. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us understanding. Teach us, Lord, the things that we have heard that we will know how to apply them in our lives. And make us, oh Lord, today to have insight. Insight to even use foresight and to be able to gain hindsight from the things of the past. We continue to move forward from glory to glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. And everybody says, amen. Can you put your hand together for the Lord Jesus? Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Praise team. You may come up. Hallelujah.